Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. Today, I have Lori Richardson, who is the CEO of Score More Sales, and she's also president of Women Sales Pros. Now, I met Lori through the Women Sales Pros organization, and I was extremely impressed by the work that she's doing for women in sales. So if you're a woman listening to this, which I know my audience is mostly male, but if you're a woman listening to this podcast, I'm hoping you'll be inspired by the work that Lori's done. But she's definitely someone you'd want to connect with. So at the end of the podcast, when she sends her or gives us her contact information, please write it down. It'll also be in the show notes because the more women that we can get involved in this organization, the better. So Lori, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mary Lou. Great to be here.
Yeah. So tell us about your area of expertise, and specifically what I'd like to do on these podcasts is to have a couple takeaways, a couple tips or things, or just food for thought that people listening will want to ponder after we can disconnect. So you're really focused on in the area of leadership, and I'd like you to share with the audience what specifically in that area are you focused on that, you know, that gets you up in the morning and wanting to really help the world be a better place when it comes to leadership?
Oh, that's great. And it's just a pleasure to be here and to speak with you and your audience. I have been looking forward to this. I have to give you a little bit of background before I tell you why I'm so enamored with what I'm doing right now, which I really am. And I wasn't so much a number of years before. What I used to do, what I did for a number of years, was sales training and some coaching. It was very much reactive for a long time, even though, you know, we try not to be, and, you know, we like to tell people we're not reactive, we're working with companies in a more holistic way. The fact is that a lot of companies, perhaps some of the leaders listening to your podcast today, think all of a sudden, oh, we need a speaker to come in for our offsite. We need a, let's do a workshop when we get everybody in. And that's reactive. It's based on, you know, kind of the flavor of the day. And for a lot of salespeople, they don't really appreciate that, getting, you know, different ideas at different times and nothing really cohesive. And what I found for me was that it wasn't very rewarding at the end of the day when I look back to think about companies and specifically people that I've made any impact with. So I had a big change a couple of years back and really started working with the leadership teams and companies when they realize they have some sort of a sales issue. And from there, helped to figure out if, in fact, they really did know what the issue was. So help confirm it and kind of do an EKG for the sales team, if you will, kind of a medical analogy, and then help solve the issues. And what's happened in our company and with the companies that we work with is that it's very holistic. It's very easy to see the whole sales ecosystem and to see how everything kind of works together to make sales results. It's not any one training. It's not any one coaching. It's not any one person. It's everything functioning together, which I think you could really appreciate.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you mentioned something that really resonated with me, and that was the term when they realize they have a sales issue. How is that manifested? I know it's a variety of ways, but the coming to the awareness is really a key element in all this, and not unlike going to the doctor. You have a pain, but you may not be able to isolate where the pain is, what the pain, you know, is doing to the rest of your body. But how are you able to drag that out of the sales leaders of what is actually going on?
Yeah, it's a good exercise for sure. I mean, I think a general comment about leadership is that it takes many whys to get to the bottom of things. And as people talk about peeling back an onion, you know, the first answer is usually not the real issues or the symptoms. And it's not until you really kind of go deeper, generally speaking. But we do an evaluation of the sales force, and it includes metrics and pipeline and people. And so between all of that, there's a vast amount of data that's gathered, and it gives us a lot to look at together with the leadership team. So that's the short answer. But, you know, I think people see the symptoms and they feel the symptoms. One of the best times, as I'm sure you would agree too, is when there's a change in leadership, either at the C level or at the sales leader level, because that's always a fresh opportunity. People are a lot more open to seeing what issues might be going on. I also like very much working with the type of sales leaders who are big picture thinkers, you know, who want to work themselves out of a job. As one of the senior VPs I worked with said, you know, he was okay with finding out what flaws he has and what hand he may have in the current sales situation. And so I come in as more of a secret weapon, you know, and an assist than anything confrontational, which is what a small-minded person tends to think.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that a change in leadership is a natural sort of time when it makes sense? Are there any other triggers that you come across more often than not as to when people finally throw in the towel and say, okay, we've got a problem here?
I'd like to ask you the same question. but I find, you know, it varies. Sales are down, competition's up, what worked before isn't working anymore. The market's changed. I think there are a lot of different things that happen.
Right.
What do you find?
Well, for me, since it's sales process, you know, the all of a sudden the pipeline is filled with gunk. You know, it's sluggish. There's a physical aspect to it in my world, because in my world there's tangible visual signs, whereas with you, It's really more art and skill and metrics,
before.
And I'm just curious how you're able to bubble up that pain to the top because of the fact that it is manifested in ways that you have to know how to drill down. And not very many people are good, not even consultants are good at that drilling down process, the five whys, whatever you want to call it. Do you for how deep to go and in what areas? It sounded like you have a methodology with your folks.
We use some different tools to do that. And I do try to stay very data oriented in the beginning. So, for example, if we're helping a sales team, a leadership team to bring on a sales leader or a new sales rep, we start from a very metrics focused position rather than personalities and, you know, feel good feelings and take it from there. So yeah, there's definitely some strategy involved in that, because, you know, do you want someone who can sell, or do you want someone that you like, you know, that you want to hang out with? And I find that people get very hung up on candidates, whether they're for a leadership role or for a sales rep role, because of an initial feeling. And I want to find out whether they really can sell, and if they have, you know, the characteristics or the DNA to be successful at it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, because once again, in my world, I feel very fortunate, because it is numbers, it is activity that is forward movement and not necessarily activities for the sake of activities, but activities with motion. And so because of that, the testing process, the onboarding process, and really the interview process is very much a habitual driven type of interview process. A lot more of the selling skills because, and I hear this all the time from salespeople, I'm sure you do too, every account is different, you know, so we have to go through a different process, which I believe that, and I applaud that. But in top of funnel, they're more alike than not, you know, so it's really, we're really like, you know, that, what is that thing called? Speed dating. We're like speed daters at the top of the funnel. We want to get to know you just enough to know, like, so that, you know, like, and trust us to get to that next step. But then when you get some opportunity to close, then you're getting engaged, you're meeting the family, you know, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more going on there. And so what you guys do to me is just magic, and how you figure out the right people to get to the close. I'm eternally enamored with what you do.
Sales organizations are more alike than not too. And that's something I always hear is that, oh no, but you don't understand, our company is really different. Mm-hmm. And that's a very common theme I've heard for a long time working with companies.
Yes. Yeah. Very long time. And I think, you know, from the sales cycle's point of view, in the selling, in to get from opportunity to close, there are different levers that you pull, but 9 times out of 10, there's going to be a pattern there. And it's sometimes nuanced, but there is a pattern. And the same thing with what you do, I would imagine, you know, when you're trying to diagnose, just like a good physician, I just had knee surgery, for example, and wasn't sure exactly what part of my knee was giving me problems. So the doctor took me through a very involved diagnostic, not tests with machines, but just questions that he asked me of how I moved, of what I did. And so I'm assuming that that's exactly what you've come up with for your folks is to get through that way. That's fabulous and fascinating. Just fascinating. Yeah. Cool.
It's really changed the satisfaction level for what I do, because we see sales teams, the revenues rise, people who are not happy, they're disengaged, don't stay usually, or they move somewhere else to another department, because you can hide in a sales team for a while, you know, depending on, you know, I work with a lot of manufacturing companies and older businesses, not, you know, I'm not in Silicon Valley working on cutting edge stuff typically, although we do have technology clients and that's my background. But I've found that, you know, people can hide for a good while before they're found out. And what these things do is they find out who really is working on creating more opportunities and who isn't.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that I see a lot is, you mentioned hiding, because the ability to track and data enter what's going on in the sales cycle is so horrendously inadequate now in terms of CRM compliance, whatever you want to call it. It is more difficult to add distributed teams, and I'm sure you work in organizations where teams are spread out all over the place. You know, it makes it more difficult to manage and to figure out where those holes are. I mean, you look at the spreadsheet, you see the forecast, but how reliable is it really? You know, I would imagine that there's just a lot of working parts that you deal with in your processes.
Yeah. And people being accountable, and it also ties in with something I've been talking about for a while, about how sales rep, you know, whether they're frontline SDRs, account executives, they deserve good management. You know, because sales is a hard job, and it's not for everybody. You need sales leaders who will be involved and who should know an overview of what you're doing in the roles of the sales reps and coaching. You know, some regular coaching, one-on-one every week. Hopefully, you know, a good amount. But there are people that aren't getting that. You know, there's salespeople that don't get that. They don't get those bare minimums to know that, you know, there's somebody here that really cares about my success. I think that salespeople, because it's a hard job and you know, it's a career, you have to have somebody in your corner, specifically your sales manager, and they need to coach you and help you develop professionally. Good managers do this no matter how skilled the salesperson is, that you can always take someone from where they are to a further point, in my opinion. I've seen that with athletes, and I see it a lot with sales professionals as well. So what sometimes happens is that sales leader says, oh, they know what they're doing. You know, I don't really need to add, you know, to their development, or maybe I don't think I can as a sales leader. But I really think that salespeople deserve that, and they deserve to be coached on a regular basis, weekly, one-on-one.
And how long of a coaching process is that typically per sales rep, do you think?
I mean, a time?
Yeah, I mean, is it 5 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour? How much time do you typically see?
Well, I personally like 20-minute increments for a lot of things because it's not 30. And, you know, 30 is a half hour. An hour time slot is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you can meet with someone and convey what you need to say and get feedback and have enough time and not be too rushed, then that's the right amount of time. And that might be 12 minutes or 15 minutes. But I think the important thing is to have it and honor that time, have it on the calendar. It's not like cube-side coaching, you know, as I'm walking by. It's much more than that.
Right. And to relate to that and the work that I do, we put that coaching in as part of the block time. There is a set time where the reps are making telephone calls, and they build up from some percentage of time to about a 2-hour block is what we do. And then in the warm-up process, we do role playing. And then when we are ramping somebody up fresh, we're looking at coaching them almost on a daily basis until we get a ramp up to a point that they're producing the way they should and they're feeling comfortable in the role. So after that point in time, then there is periodic training that we put in, but it's somewhere in the 20 minute range as well. Once a week. Once they are seasoned. But when we start out, it's, you know, we meet every day as me as a consultant with the team, and it really works. It really does.
Yeah. It shouldn't, you know, and that's the other thing is that it shouldn't be a surprise if someone isn't up to the, you know, the standards that a leader wants. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes personalities get involved, and I've seen it where a manager won't even talk to the rep, you know, because they think they don't listen or, you know, whatever it is that creates some issues. And you should always know where you stand in a sales role, and you deserve to have good leadership. I guess that's the biggest thing that I wanted to say about that.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears now and talk about your other passion. And that's how we met, which was the Women Sales Pros. And how did that all come to fruition? I will admit to the audience, and I admitted this to you, that I never really thought about this as a challenge issue, something that, you know, we've need to all kind of work together on. Having been in engineering all my life, the only girl graduating from my engineering class, you know, I've never really, it just never really dawned on me that, you know, we were faced with
I don't know if crisis is too strong a word, but we were faced with, you know, we have some challenges with women in sales. So,
yeah, absolutely. And in a number of industries, technology, of course, technology, manufacturing, distribution, telecom, oil and gas, you know, there are a lot that we could name. There is a lack of women in a sales role and a real lack in leadership. In fact, Discover.org pulled a data set recently and found that just 12.8% of VP sales and above are women. Mm. So, I mean, you know, that 50% of college graduates are women. Or actually more than 50%. There are more women graduating than men from colleges and universities. And yet everybody's looking for more salespeople and sales leaders. You know, so there's definitely an opportunity. There are some companies that it really is dire for them to find more really good reps. And while I don't think that every woman is necessarily a good candidate, I think that they should look into the possibility if that's their interest, and at least see. Because what I learned in doing a lot of panels this past year with sales leaders was that about 75% of the women sales leaders I talked to had someone in their immediate family who was in sales or an entrepreneur. Mm. So what that tells me unscientifically, this is unscientific, but I believe that there are a lot of women who don't know the great possibilities of a sales career because they've heard the negatives, and the negatives persist, and yet it could be an extremely flexible job opportunity, career opportunity, also a very high-paying one if you compare a marketing career to a sales career. You know, millions of dollars difference in someone's career timeline. Mm-hmm. And so I just want more women to know about the opportunities and know that sales has changed so that it is very much a profession where you can help other people, you can solve problems, you can work collaboratively, bring great communication skills, and use empathy. I mean, what a great career.
Right. And one of the things I wanted to share with the group here is the aha moment that I had when you were telling me about job applications and how they were worded. That was just mind-boggling. Why don't you share that with the audience?
Yeah. Well, there are some studies that have been done, and there are actually companies that can go through now, you know, with all the data tools we have and find words that are more male focused and words that are more female focused. And, you know, for years, a lot of companies have looked for salespeople who were athletes in college, for example. I did that myself. You know, mm-hmm. We would want a former athlete because that's someone who's competitive, tenacious, you know, hardworking. And yet there's not a direct correlation to being successful in sales. That's not to say there aren't some former athletes who do very, very well. I also know a lot of athletes who did not do well in sales. So, but when you put in words like that in the job description, or even things like competitive, I'm a very competitive person, but I didn't necessarily look for jobs that competitiveness was at the top of the list.
Right.
And a lot of women are like that, where I can be very successful and I'm not, you know, trying to close someone, you know, it's like a verb. To close them and be, you know, go, you know, kill them, and it's not a war with me, and that's a difference with words between women and men on a, you know, on a very general level, but words matter, and if you're not getting female candidates for sales roles, quite often it's the way the either the way the job was written, or the way it's been written up and presented, or it's the atmosphere in the sales floor, the sales team.
So for homework, everybody, for those of you who are looking for sales executives, business developers, account managers, account reps, take out your job descriptions and comb over them and see if they are written from a quote unquote male point of view, and try to make them to be more enticing to everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, show them to get it some different points of view from different people. That can be another way to get some good feedback.
Right. Right. I mean, when you shared that with me, that was a major aha moment for me, because I never really thought of that. And I think most of the people listening to this call are thinking the same thing. It never dawned on me.
Yeah, I still, you know, I gave a talk at Inbound, HubSpot's big marketing conference, and there were more than one. There were at least two young women in the room that were telling me about their hostile sales environment, you know, that they put up with a lot of what we call locker room talk, or, you know, just kind of a fraternal feeling. And you would not think that in this day that would happen. And so, you know, the other thing is, if you say, well, our job descriptions are fine, there's nothing wrong with that, what do other people say about your company? What does it say on Glassdoor? And what's the reputation among, you know, former salespeople there? Because that matters too. And I like the leaders that stand up and set the tone for the atmosphere in a company in general, and in a sales department as well.
Definitely. Well, we're closing in on the top of our talk today, and I wanted to make sure that for those people who are listening and want to get involved, especially on the Women Sales Pro side, what's the best way to reach you, to offer guidance, to get assistance? How do you prefer?
Most people can find me through Score More Sales one way or another on the web, Lori@ScoreMoreSales, ScoreMoreSales.com, @ScoreMoreSales on Twitter. Also at Women Sales Pros on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And we talk to a lot of companies, you know, through Women Sales Pros about leadership topics as well. So it's not just women. We work with a lot of leaders who are both men and women.
Yeah, well, definitely your expertise is the umbrella of leadership, is the umbrella. And then underneath that is the ability to cross all boundaries. And women's sales pros is one of those areas that is an offshoot where you're really focusing on awareness, you know, awareness and action, you know, and moving. That's great,
Lori. That's what it is. It's the action, because we all get it, but nothing's really changing.
Right. So if I'm a corporation, do you have, I mean, are there ways for corporations to get an assessment? I don't know if assessment's even the right word, but to, you know, how do you work with companies?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we definitely work with companies. I talk to HR executives quite often. Sometimes they're looking for candidates. Mm-hmm. And while we're not a placement agency, I'm around so many different leaders and companies that I know, I tend to kind of match people up. So just people that are looking for candidates, or people who are looking to find out what the opinion is of their sales team. We come in and we do some evaluation that way as well. So happy to talk to anyone about it, even if it's a quick question or, you know, quick answer.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have I've attended this, the annual get together and speakers, mentoring. So if you're a women's sales pro out there who is unaware of this organization, the other thing that you can do to give back is to mentor and come and speak and share your experiences.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the sharing of experiences gives people that courage to take that next step. Sometimes you just need to hear that someone's gone before you in order to say, you know what, I can do this too.
I think to see an example, to see leaders who are both men and women, who are different ages, young and old, You know, it's really important to be able to see that because it helps people to better envision themselves in those positions. So for companies that are losing women in sales, you know, that's part of it too. To retain people, they have to be able to see some kind of a growth path and a growth plan.
Right, right. Well, Lori, this has been a wonderful talk. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I will put all that information about how to get hold of you in the show notes. So for those of you who wrote down furiously but didn't quite get it all, it'll be on the show notes with Lori's picture. And yeah, we're looking forward to hearing how this is going to help our industry and get people better leaders and then a lot more women in sales. And you're just taking on that role. We appreciate all that you're doing to get us further along.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.